11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball.
One ball!
The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal! Scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, goal! Scoring the goals.
Welcome along to the League Podcast for another week of winners in the Championship, League One and League Two. That's the kind of confidence I come in here with. Pete Farage is on the line. You all right, Pete?
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Are you looking forward to a good weekend?
I'm looking forward to a good weekend. I'm not Excellent. Looking forward to the 5 p.m.s on Saturday again when I have to look at the scores and just shake my head and maybe even weep a small tear. You know, like seen that advert when that Indian, is it an advert or a film when that Indian turns round and looks at all the trash in his in his former sort of...
I think it's an advert for something,
yeah,
isn't
an advert,
it?
Yeah, and he just weeps a single tear. That's what I do in the stands at the Pro Act every Saturday whenever I check the rating scores.
I like
the,
it.
Scores.
I like that, it's good.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at the games then, shall we? And we'll start with Reading versus QPR. This one's on the telly, 12:15 on Saturday lunchtime. 29-20 the price for Reading, 11-5 the draw, and QPR are 17-10. This is fifth versus third. It's quite a long, big gap between the two as well. QPR now on 31 points and Reading back on 23. So at this early stage of the season, it really is becoming the top three versus the rest. But Reading's home form is really, really good. Drew 1-1 with Millwall last time out. I have drawn with Brighton as well and Watford. But they've won three in the meantime. Not doing anything wrong, really, Reading, you could argue. QPR's away form has been a little bit suspect, Pete, hasn't it? They were winning 1-0, and then drew with Millwall, lost to Burnley and drew with Wigan. Not that you could really criticise them for any of those three results. They're all fair, I think, at the end of the season. Interesting game this, though, isn't it? Good one for the TV on Saturday as well.
No, I think it's going to be dull.
Oh, do you?
Truth be told, I don't think this is a great game. I mean, yes, Reading's home form in Medeski under both Brian McDermott and, of course, now Nigel Adkins, very, very solid indeed. This season so far, not lost a single home game. Yes, they've drawn games they would have liked to have won, the Brighton game. Certainly last time out against Millwall, they'll feel very aggrieved at not coming away with 3 points in that one. But the problem, of course, for QPR was that their form took a small dip, didn't it? And it was ironic because it coincided with Steve McLaren leaving. When McLaren left, their form took a little bit of a dip, of course. But then they then played Steve McLaren, of course, new manager of Derby County, last weekend and beat him 2-1 and beat Derby 2-1. So it's quite ironic that their form dipped when he left. And then in order to say, well, we don't need you anymore, they beat him. It was a very strange situation. This, for me, has got the X written absolutely all over it. I don't think QPR's solidity in midfield is going to be compromised, truth be told. I keep going back to this again and again whenever we speak on this podcast about QPR, but the fact is that midfield is just so solid and they grind wins out. They do it by a goal. Okay, they beat Barnsley 2-0, didn't they? But, you know, their game against Derby the other day, that was a 2-1 victory. Away from home, yeah, they've not been impressive recently, haven't scored in the last two, drew at Millwall. The game they lost, to be fair, was away at Turf Moor against Burnley, and Burnley, of course, we know what kind of form they're in, although we'll get to them a little bit later in the podcast. So for me, I think Harry Redknapp will be happy with a draw here. I think Nigel Adkins will actually, considering it's one of the harder teams in the league coming to him, be happy with a draw. A draw will more than likely keep Reading in the playoff places, especially if the results go the way I think they're going to go this weekend. So for me, I actually would be looking at a low-scoring draw. I wouldn't be looking at the sort of the two-alls or the three-alls. So, for example, Reading have had against Watford this season. I would be looking at, unquestionably, the draw and under 2.5 goals. I think that's the way in because I just think both sides are going to be very, very solid. Of course, we know that's not the way that Nigel Adkins sets his sides up. He sets his sides up to go at teams. Slightly less so with Reading now than he did with Southampton, to be fair. But for me, there's not really a great deal to choose between these two sides, and drawing under 2.5 goals is 3-1. I think that's probably the way in.
Let's move on to the table toppers. Burnley taking on Bournemouth. 33 points Burnley have got. A plus 17 goal difference from their 14 games as well, and they've done very little wrong. Just that defeat at home to West Ham, which was in the League Cup anyway. The only blot on their copybook at home, unless you count the draw with Blackburn and Bolton. But a little harsh to say draws are a bad thing. Bournemouth, since those drubbings early on in the season, Pete, away from home, they've steadied the ship a little bit, haven't they? I mean, they're still conceding goals, still conceded three at Borough, two at Leeds and two at Leicester. But it's got better for them, hasn't it? It's fair to say.
It has. I mean, the opening two games of the season away from home, they conceded, 11 goals? And, you know, I know that away from home now they've conceded 8 in the last 4, and I get that. You know, I understand that that's still not phenomenal. But if you look at their points haul, 5 points from the last 5 away games, if they replicate that over the course of the season just in terms of away form, you're still looking down the barrel of them collecting quite a few points, you know, and staying in this league, which is 100% Bournemouth's aim. I think Bournemouth are a play here. Plus a goal, they're 11-10. Now, I know you'll say Burnley at home this season, outside of that derby against Bolton, that derby against Blackburn, you'll say, Pete, they're unstoppable. You know, 3 against Birmingham, 3 against Charlton, 2 against Reading, 2 against QPR, and beating these teams. And you'd be right, but the price is too big. And I spoke, of course, last week about Socks Up Syndrome. I played Millwall, draw, no bet. And, of course, if you played that, you got your money back, Millwall drew. But it was an own goal that got Burnley back into that game and that equaliser, of course, wasn't it? And for me, Millwall aren't that good a side, and I know Burnley were away from home, I know at Turf Moor everything's a little bit different, but Bournemouth, for me, they are still a side that look very, very good indeed. There's two bets, don't get me wrong, I like the plus a goal. The 11-10 plus a goal is very, very good. I want to stick with the Stocks Up Syndrome here, but ultimately speaking, there is another bet I think that's worth getting your cash down on. It's a 6-1, which makes it very, very big indeed. And that is Mark Pugh to score any time for Bournemouth. Now, if you don't want to play Bournemouth plus a goal, I know that Burnley haven't conceded in, 3 of the last 5 at home, but if you think they can concede and you're looking for a goal scorer, then Mark Pugh is your man. Scored in back-to-back away games at difficult places as well. Of course, Nottingham Forest, that, of course, Leicester as well. The guy is scoring goals, and I know Brett Pittman's got a good away goal record so far this season, and Grabban's had a goal as well, but Pugh has scored in back-to-back away games, and he's 6-1. So that's another way into this game, should you want to choose it in terms of a goal scorer. But I'm going to stick to Socks Up Syndrome here, that I still don't think Burnley will be where they are come the end of the season. I think they might be top six. Sean Dyche, no matter what I've said, has done a phenomenal job. But I don't know that they will be where they are now. And that means they have to drop points. I think, knowing this is the Championship, knowing that Bournemouth away form, while not phenomenal, is recently, of course, not dreadful. And knowing that Burnley, I think, were tripped up a little bit of West Ham and are still stumbling from that, I think the plus a goal Bournemouth at 11-10 is fantastic.
So we'll look at an intriguing game, Derby versus Sheffield Wednesday. Derby are odds on here, 4-5 to win at home. 5-2 the price for the draw, and Sheffield Wednesday are 3-1. This is the Wednesday team who couldn't buy a win anywhere, and then went and won 5-2 at home to Reading. Pick that one out. Derby County, when you look at their overall form, it's a little bit inconsistent. Home form too, really. I mean, they lost last time out to Derby to QPR, 2-1, which is the first loss that Steve McLaren's suffered, isn't it, Pete? Under as the boss there, when he's not been in the stand, if you like.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, and of course, it was against
his old club, yeah.
Yeah, the team that were employing him as a coach for a while. This is an awkward game, straight off the bat. It's an awkward game. But I think Sheffield Wednesday are, again, the value. They both seem to score, Liam. We'll be hearing from you, both seem to score Acker a little bit later.
It's in.
I'll be stuck in that. You know, you look at Sheffield Wednesday's games this season on the whole, the both teams of scorers landing all over the place.
And it's 4-6. I mean, it's 4-6, Pete, which might not be attractive as a single to people, but it's not a bad, you know. I mean, like, I think 4-6 is a very fair price for both teams to score in this one.
Every away game this season.
Derby, I know they've drawn blanks at home. But that one of them was against Burnley, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And one was against Leicester.
So, yeah, I mean, other than that, all the both teams have scored landing.
Yeah.
Sheffield Wednesday, I've said for a couple of weeks, you know, had been improving. That maybe I wanted to back against them even then, but they had been improving. Then, of course, they absolutely handed it to Reading, didn't they? 5-2 the other day. And of course, Reading got 2 with the last-minute penalty, didn't they? So, Sheffield Wednesday have looked fantastic. They've just not been winning games, but nor have they been losing them. We said last week, didn't we, if you'd only lost this many games in your Sheffield Wednesday at this stage of the season, you'd be absolutely thrilled by that. Mm. They've won a game now, and that can, I think, sometimes spur teams on. Derby, of course, under Steve McLaren, have just lost a game. Of course, he was in the stands for the Ipswich game, wasn't he? But they beat Leeds, beat Watford, drew with Birmingham, and that's not a great result considering we know that Birmingham are bad on the road, and then lose to QPR. I think that feel-good factor, and you know, I was listening to a phone-in, and I'm not the biggest fans of phone-ins, generally speaking, but I was listening to a phone-in on the way back on Saturday, and the Sheffield Wednesday fans, everyone who rang in said it was the best performance Sheffield Wednesday have put in years. Years was what was being said. And so I look at that and I think Derby just lost the first game under Steve McLaren. They aren't still 100%, I don't think, Derby. And then you put that against Wednesday. Massive confidence boost. Hit five the other day. Yes, they're conceding, but they've scored and they're not really losing a lot of games either. You put all that together and Sheffield Wednesday draw no bet, and Sheffield Wednesday and both teams to score have both got to be ways in. I mean, Sheffield Wednesday and both teams to score is 11-2. Great bet. But Sheffield Wednesday draw no bet. They've done a lot of draws. They've barely lost this season. And okay, they've barely won, but they're off the back of their first win of the season. That's only got to be a positive thing. 2-1 draw no bet, Sheffield Wednesday. But I also like that 11-2 Wednesday and both teams to score.
Mm. Charlton Leeds next. Charlton 29-20. The draw is 21-10. Leeds are 9-5. Charlton are in 17th position with 14 points from the 13 games. Leeds up to 8th now with 20 points from their 14. So just 3 points outside the top six. They're on a little bit of a run of lose one, win one, lose one, win one, lose one, win one at Leeds United. The wins coming at home and the losses coming away from home. As for Charlton's home form, it's nothing to write home about, Pete. In fact, it's nothing to write anywhere about. Haven't won in four. I've only scored one goal in those four games as well against Millwall, Nottingham Forest, Blackpool and Wigan, all at home. Leeds should be able to outscore Charlton if that continues.
They should. I mean, you're absolutely right about Charlton's home form. But at the same time, you know, you look at it and you say that they haven't lost any of the last five games. They've not played too many good sides. I stand by that Blackpool was an early season burst. Okay, they played Forest, who I think are a decent side, but Blackburn, Wigan, yeah, okay, Wigan are all right, but Birmingham, they've not played anyone that you look at and you go, well, that's a fantastic result, do you really? That none of those put sort of the fear of God into you. And if your Leeds go into this game playing the way they're playing, they've changed to 3-5-2 Leeds, and it really is benefiting them wholly. And I've read an article about it this week, actually, that was in the local press talking about how much better, how much more balanced this Leeds side is at 3-5-2. And I think if you can start to put a bit more solidity into the back line, they're looking very, very good indeed. The rule, of course, as we've spoken about many times with Leeds, is if Ross McCormack scores, sorry, if they're going to win, Ross McCormack's going to score. Against Yeovil, hit two. Who scored them both? Ross McCormack. Didn't score against Huddersfield, they lost 3-2. Did he score against Birmingham? Yes, they won 4-0. Did he score against Derby? No, they lost 3-1. Did he score against Bournemouth? Yes, they won 2-1. So if Ross McCormack scores, they tend to win games at the moment. And certainly, if they're going to win, they need him to score. So there's a couple of things here. First of all, 9-5 is too big for me. I know that Charlton are tricky to beat at the moment. I know that at home, while they haven't been winning a lot, they haven't been losing a lot, certainly, either. But the draw no bet Charlton is 7-10. And the draw no bet Leeds is 21-20. So you've got a team who are winning games, admittedly losing some as well, but are winning games at 21-20, draw no bet, knowing that they are playing superbly and, you know, then badly, then superbly. Now, there is an issue. Of course there's an issue. And that, of course, is that Leeds away from home recently have been gubbins. They really have been just the worst thing ever. I mean, they lost at Reading. Okay, fair enough. But losing at Millwall, Derby, losing at Huddersfield. I mean, they only scraped a 1-0 victory over Bolton at Bolton. That was before Bolton began to improve. I'm not sure my voice broke like a 14-year-old child there, but you get the point.
I liked it.
You get the point. And this is the thing for me. I think Leeds can only get better, whereas I think that Charlton are almost working at 100% capacity right now. So while Leeds away form, and it's important that we identify that for listeners and we make it clear that the Leeds away form isn't good, I'm going against that this weekend. I think the draw no bet, it does of course give you the value of the return of your cash if it is a draw. But I think the value is too good at 21-20. And also, of course, I have to put this up because if they're going to win, he's probably going to have to score. Ross McCormack anytime, Leeds, 130.
Let's have a look at Leicester versus Nottingham Forest. 10-11, Leicester. The draw is 5-2, and Forest are 13-5. The respective positions make this a real tasty derby, as if it isn't anyway. But Leicester flying high in second place, just a point behind Burnley and Nottingham Forest. What are that group who are quite a few points away from them? In fact, they're 9 points off Leicester, but in the playoffs, so just behind, waiting for slip-ups at this time of the season. Leicester's home form is brilliant. 4-3 win over Fulham in the League Cup, of course. Then you get those 2-1s that we've talked about before on this podcast. 2-1 Bournemouth, 2-1 Huddersfield, 2-1 Barnsley, 2-1 Derby, 2-1 Blackburn. They did Wigan 2-0 and beat Birmingham 3-2. Forest's away form, it's all right. Beat Brighton 3-1. A couple of draws here and there. Lost to Yeovil, which was a disappointing result for them. Lost to Wigan, drew with Watford and beat Blackburn, Pete. There looks to be goals in this game. I mean, if you look at the head-to-heads last season, which, you know, I know you're not a massive fan of, but there were goals in the games previously. Do you think there will be, or do you think it'll be a bit more of a tighter affair, seeing as where they are in the division?
Well, I mean, I'm not a massive fan of head-to-heads generally. My issue is more going back over a long time.
Yes, yeah.
In games that
are irrelevant.
You know, yeah.
Different players.
The derby. So, you know, for example, the Forest Derby games, I'm always happy to look at red cards because it's something that comes with the tie as opposed to comes with the teams. And you look at this and you say Leicester 10-11. They're 10-11 because, quite rightly, you identified their absolutely fantastic home form. And I think that's where you go. I mean, Forest away from home, Billy Davies is still doing a great job. They're sick. That's fine for Forest right now. They're in a good position to charge. You see, I still think at this stage of the season, you don't want your team necessarily top. Because it's like a golfer. I'm never happy after round one and round two if my player is at the top of the leaderboard. I'm nervous. I hate it. And in football, certainly in the Championship, while we do often see one team who absolutely dominates it, they tend to come into domination terms around January and then just run away with it from there. So you look at Forest and you say, well, they've won one in five away from home, two all season, one at Brighton and one, I think, at Blackburn, I think. Yeah, Blackburn, I think, is the answer. Probably should have double-checked that. But the point remains that they've won two away games this season. They've drawn at Donny, they've drawn at Charlton, they've just lost at Yeovil, and, you know, that's not acceptable for Yeovil to be beating Forest 3-1, and it was a comfy win as well for Gary Johnson's men, don't forget. Yes, it was all done first half, it was 3-1 half time, and that's how it ended, but still the point remains. It was an easy win. Leicester at home are scoring goals. Now, I think there's a couple of ways into this. First of all, Leicester and both teams to score is 13-5. Forest are scoring away from home. Leicester are conceding, you know, as much as they're winning, you know, they're hitting two goals a lot. They've conceded against Blackburn, Barnsley, Huddersfield, Bournemouth. So they're conceding a lot of goals, and that's the issue. But I think Leicester and both teams to score 13-5 is very good. It is, I think, one for your both teams to score, Acker, Lee. I don't know if you're going to be having this one in, but it's 6-10 if you fancy that.
Nope.
But the other one I quite like here is Anthony Knockhart. Now, Knockhart is 100-30 in the market. He's behind Nugent, Wood, Vardy. I get that. But he shouldn't, for me, really be behind Fletcher, Hopper, or Schlupp in this market. He's 100-30. He scored the other day, of course, he has been out with an injury, but he scored the other day, last weekend, and he scored the 90th minute winner the last time these two teams met. And that can, on a player's mind, really, you know, hang there. And I think Leicester win. So I think a big price play this weekend is Anthony Knockhart anytime, but Leicester to win 5-1. I think that's really, really good. Knockhart anytime and Leicester to win 5-1. That, for me, would be the way into this game. I think it's a very good bet. I don't fancy Forest away.
So we'll look at a South Yorkshire derby. Barnsley versus Doncaster Rovers. Donny Rovers are 20th, Barnsley 23rd. 2 points separating the two sides. Barnsley's home form is the best part of their season so far. They've had a 5-1 defeat to Watford. And they had that 4-0 defeat to Wigan. But they're the only defeats they've had in the league. They did get smashed to bits by Southampton in the League Cup, but that's fair enough. 2-1 win over Huddersfield at home, 3-2 over Middlesbrough, drew 1-1 with Wednesday and 1-1 with Reading. Doncaster Rovers, Pete mentioned it earlier in the podcast, just look to be on the slide, and they've conceded 8 goals in the last two Championship away games, Pete. Reading and Middlesbrough, you could argue they're obviously better than Barnsley, but Barnsley are capable of scoring on their day, aren't they?
They are. And they're certainly improving. And one thing I thought was interesting about this game is that when last season, Flitcroft got Barnsley on a run. He was able to keep that run going, wasn't he? He was able to keep that momentum rolling over. And at the moment, there's no argument that their form for Barnsley and what Barnsley want to achieve, pretty good over the last five. You know, lost at QPR, kind of so what, but drew against Reading, drew against Wednesday, against Ipswich, beat Borough. And, you know, Donny at the moment can't pull themselves out of this slide. They've conceded 8 in the last 2 away games. They've conceded in the last 3 matches overall 11 goals and scored just twice. There is no way for me you can be with Doncaster Rovers in this match. Because, first of all, like I said, the momentum, and it's ticking over nicely at the moment for Barnsley, is very good. But for Donny, they're falling apart. I mean, it's like opening the oven too quickly on a Yorkshire pudding. They're just collapsing at the moment, Doncaster Rovers, and they're not particularly good. So even money is short. I completely and wholeheartedly appreciate that. It is short for Barnsley. I mean, you know, how many times am I going to come to you and say, listen, Lee, I'll offer you even money that Barnsley win this weekend? You're not going to bite people's hands off, you know, a great deal, are you? But I still think that it's worth playing, because I just, with the way that Doncaster have been conceding, it for me means that it is wholly and wholeheartedly frightening to be backing them to win a game, Donny. There is no way I'd want to back them to win a game. They are, as God once said, unbackable. So for me, you're playing that. You are unquestionably playing that. Chris O'Grady anytime, 5-4. Decent home goal scoring form, of course, of late as well. Jim O'Brien could be interesting. Scored an important goal the other day, of course, against Ipswich. And, you know, there are some very good players in there. I mean, Dale Jennings was at Bayern Munich, for God's sake. But the point remains, it comes down to one thing. Conceding 11 goals in 3 games. Do you want to back Doncaster?
No.
I don't.
I don't either. No, definitely not. Yeovil against Wigan is a Sunday game at 3 o'clock on Sunday. It's Yeovil priced up at 14-5. Wigan are 17-20, and the draw is 5-2. Wigan in Europa League action after we record this, if you like. So we're a bit open to any team news that happens between now and Sunday. But we've said this quite a lot. I guess punters have been waiting for a reaction from Wigan, a negative reaction, if you like. To see if we can back against them in games in the Championship, but they've done all right. You know, they had the 0-0 draw against Charlton after playing Rubin Kazan at home. Before that, they'd played Maribor at home, won 3-1 in that game, and then beat Blackburn Rovers 2-1 in another home game. After the away trip to Zulte Waregem, they won 2-0 against Ipswich. So there's nothing much to worry about, but it's a slightly different kettle of fish, this one, Pete, isn't it? Because they're going to Russia, and then they've got to go to Yeovil. I'm just weighing up which one's the worst trip. And Yeovil have just beaten Nottingham Forest 3-1 at home. Is there a bit of value in this 14-5?
5,314 miles.
To Yeovil?
To Yeovil.
Oh, right,
yeah,
okay.
How it feels if you've ever done that trip. I mean, having said that, not that I have, but I'm just assuming. You look at it, and it's surely asking too much, because first of all, it's going to be swear-wordingly cold in Russia. Rubin is a cold place. Playing at the Centralny is incredibly difficult at the best of times, let alone when it's freezing cold. Knowing that they've then got to come back and go to Yeovil. Now, it's likely they may well fly to Yeovil, but the point is, do players have in their minds right now, I'm excited for this game, or right now, what they also have in their minds, how much travelling it's going to do? Naturally, it's going to sap you. And if Yeovil was still ticking over and not playing particularly well, I'd go, I think Wigan might be able to scrape a draw here. But Yeovil have started to just improve a little bit. I know there's no Ed Upson, and that's going to cost them. You know, he's got a brace through the day, didn't he, Ed Upson? And that's a big thing for them. But they weren't horrendous against Leeds. Leeds were just very, very efficient. And then you throw in the final kicker. The reason why Yeovil should not in a trillion, billion, rillion years be the price they are in this game. Wigan haven't scored away from home in the last 5 matches. They've been at Cheltenham and not scored. Blackpool, Watford, Leicester, Bournemouth. That's a big trip down to Bournemouth. And another went down to 10 men in that game, but they've made a big trip down to Bournemouth and not scored. So you throw it in. Yeovil beat a good side in Nottingham Forest at home last time out and drew with Brighton before that, so they're improving their form at Huish Park. Wigan aren't scoring away from home, and Wigan have got to travel 5,300 odd miles. It is an unbelievably good bet. Yeovil a 14-5. Yeovil a 14-5, Lee. It is just too big. And of course, yeah, you can then do what I would normally suggest, which is why not take the draw no bet? That is 2-1. That is huge. That is a phenomenal bet. Wigan, I mean, it's not, if Wigan's away form was good, and you could then go, yeah, but he's still managing to, you know, even when they are travelling away from home, he's still managing to get decent results. And they, yes, they are having to travel, but they're playing well. They're not. They're playing dreadfully away from home.
Can't score a goal.
And then they don't score goals. And then you factor in, the fact that they've got to travel, which, I mean, I'm no mathematician, but you can probably get to the moon and back for 5,300 miles. Although, again, I'd have to double check. But draw no bet, Yeovil is 2-1. And that, for me, is just... It is what betting was made for.
It does look good. It does look very nice. I was very surprised to see Wigan at odds on. Pete's not doing League One and League Two this week because they're involved in the FA Cup. So he's picked out three games for us, Pete. A little FA Cup treble.
Well, you can certainly treble it up if you wish to.
I do wish to.
Okay, then. Well, then prepare to treble things up.
I'll be in charge of the trebling process.
Okay, good luck with that. Couple of bets here that I think are great. I think, first of all, my favourite FA Cup bet of the weekend is Cheltenham away from home at Tamworth. I know that Cheltenham, you could argue, have got a great deal to think about in League Two this season, having started it absolutely dreadfully, really badly. But they are starting to turn a corner a little bit, and I think this is a good game to be identified by the staff to have a real crack and win it. 10-11 away at Tamworth side, who in the conference aren't very good, is first of all a wonderful bit of value, I think. A really wonderful bit of value. Second of all, I really look at the price here on one or two of the teams and think it's too short. I mean, Bristol City are too short for me. It's 8-13 against Dagenham and Redbridge. They're not going to go in. But Peterborough at 1-2 to be Exeter would go in the next. If we're doing this as a treble, they would be the next team to go in. 1-2 Peterborough to beat Exeter. Exeter's squad is not great. They started well, but will drop away as the season goes. It's short. It's thin, the squad as well. So for me, I can't be backing that. And the last one, which I think may upset you a little bit, is Scunthorpe at 11-8 to beat Grimsby. Now, I know that... sorry about that, mate. But I know that Grimsby, you know, are in great form in the conference, aren't they? From fourth in the league in the conference and winning games. But for me, I saw Scunthorpe the other day. And even though that, you know, they got back into the game very late on, there are some very good players in that side. And also, I was eavesdropping on Brian Law's post-match talk with their local press. And he was talking about the FA Cup as though it was probably going to be quite important and he was going to treat it as such. And I think 11-8 for a side like Scunthorpe is very good away at Grimsby. It's not even that big a trip, is it? So, for me, Cheltenham 10-11, Peterborough 1-2 and Scunthorpe 11-8.
Yeah, it's a tasty derby. I mean, it's not going to go up there with the likes of Manchester United versus Manchester City or anything like that. But, yeah, there's a bit of needle there. That comes out just under 6-1, Pete.
Yeah, it's good, that.
Yeah, 10-11, 1-2, 11-8. They're both teams to score double then this week. Sticking by Wednesday, I mean, we've already talked about it, so I won't go over old ground, but 71% of Derby's home games have featured both teams to score 100% of Wednesdays, and it's 4-6, which I think is a fair price. You see, much shorter than that. The other one I'm going to put in with it is Brighton versus Blackburn. 85% of Brighton's home games have featured both teams to score. 85% of Blackburn's away games have featured both teams to score. That's 10-11. I think that's a nice price. Pair them both up and you get 11-5. So Derby versus Sheffield Wednesday, Brighton versus Blackburn, 11-5. The both teams to score double. I'm not being funny here, Pete, now, but I can't remember your bet of the week. It was quite a big one, wasn't it? What was it? Last week?
Last week, it was Burr and both teams to score and Blackburn won 1-0. Oh, so it
felt, it was 9-2, wasn't it? Yeah.
On a variety of issues.
Yeah. But it was a big price, wasn't it? Minus 88 you're on now. I had Vokes Anytime, as I've already gloated about in this podcast. So I go up to 78-68. Where are you going this week, Pete?
Yeovil draw no bet, 2-1. It is as pure and as simple as that. First of all, it'd be nice to have a Saturday where I'm working and also not panicking about what my nap is doing. But secondly, 5,300 odd miles, no away goals, Yeovil starting to improve, and you're getting the draw thrown in as part of your safety net. 2-1 draw no bet Yeovil is... I mean, I don't want to maybe labour the point or get too over the top with this, but I'm pretty sure when the earth was created, it was for this reason.
Okay. I'm going to go for... I love the Leicester-Nottingham Forest game. I think there are a load of bets in there. The both teams to score, as Pete said, is great. The over 2.5 looks great. There's another little quirky bet based on stats. There's no corners betting as we record this, but if and when it appears, over 12 corners in the match looks good. The average, if you take into account home and away corners for both these teams, comes out at 14. So that might be a nice little way in. But I'm going for both teams to score and a Leicester win at 13-5. Yep. They've scored 6 on the bounce at home. They've conceded 4 on the bounce at home, and Forest have scored in their last 7. Obviously, you're taking it on trust that Leicester actually get the result. But I'm willing to think that that home form, they'll just squeak it. I think it could be another 2-1, if I'm being honest, but I'm not going to be that daft. But yeah, Leicester to win and both teams to score, 13-5. Anyone who's more sensible, just take the both teams to score. I think it's priced up at 6-10. So, yeah, a bit short for me, that one. Even though it will land, I should think. But there we go. Pete, have a great weekend. And fingers crossed that when you look at those results, you will have done you proud.
Well, that's the hope anyway, isn't it, Lee? But yes. If they haven't, then you'll find me on In Play Radio on Sunday night in just the most foul mood.
No change there, then.
All right. Professional.
You know I'm joking. You know I love you.
I know you're not. That's the worst bit.
Many a true word said in jest. Thanks very much, Pete.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, bud. If you want to hear Pete on InPlay Radio, inplayradio.co.uk is how you do it. We'll be back next week for more of the same. In the meantime, if you're having a bet on the Championship or the FA Cup this weekend, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.